Good evening and welcome to this evening's edition of the program. This is another way of ushering you in to this, the second segment of Radio Biafra live broadcast. We are reaching you from London. My name is Uchemem 4. With a lot of challenges during this period, there has been some irregular programming from our side, and we apologize for that. Nevertheless, we must continue to march on because this is the quest for the restoration of Biafra, and it comes with a lot of challenges. To you all indigenous citizens of Biafra, to you all men and women of goodwill, this is another interesting session. We enjoin you to invite your friends, invite well-wishers, invite even the enemies of Biafra to join this program from wherever you are listening. It is good evening from London. It could be good morning to you. It could be good afternoon. Whichever one, please go ahead and accept it. As usual, to listen to this live broadcast, of course, we have our dedicated platforms. We have our main website, which is www.radiobiafra.co. If anything fails, please go to other alternative websites. We have www.biafrarestoration.com, www.indigenouspeopleofbiafra.org. We have www.peopleofbiafra.org. We also have www.ipob.org. We have www.biafratelevision.co. We are also on satellite. For those on MOS 5 satellite, please turn your dish towards 17 degrees east. And for all others on DASAT and other satellite providers, please go to the satellite radio category and search for Radio Biafra. You will be able to get us live. We are also on Shoutcast, and for you to get us on Shoutcast, the most reliable remains www.radioforest.net. www.radioforest.net. If you go there, you will be able to join this program if you search for Radio Biafra. We are also on TuneIn. TuneIn is, of course, as always, the most responsible platform for the collection of serious and effective radio stations across the world, and we are there. Go to TuneIn. You can download the app on your device and simply search for Radio Biafra, and you will be live on this program. If you want to make any contribution when the lines are open, please call +44744-8109411, +44744-8109411, or simply call alternative line, which is +44744-0531-583, +44744-0531-583. You can also get us on Skype, the Skype line, which is available this evening and for this program specifically, is Radio Biafra 1. Radio Biafra 1, you put, if you type Radio Biafra, search for Radio Biafra on Skype and put the number 1 in front of it, and you will be able to make your interactive session, make your contribution if you wish. And very soon we will also be going to our panelists. We have a number of guests from United States of America and, of course, from Biafra Land. We will be going to them very soon to make them introduce themselves and to say hello to you.
Tugu kesiri madiluwa, tugu kesiri maduke ni fonye gabo. Agana tugu kela koi bonuwa, kesa koi bonye yamila gala. Tugu kesiri madinya mado chichi nuwa. Madu si madu na koti feni na
Kechi ero nyekama
Enulia
Kechi ero nyekama
Umwero nye chugu kelu nenuwa
Kechi ero nyekama
Chugu kero madu hoka madu tafufu
Kechi ero nyekama
Nanya bifanyi mebeze hoka yala Wamebeze hoka yala nenu habulo kajizi jo Enuwa kichidero nye.
Yes, sir. This is still Radio Biafra Live Broadcast. I will now go to the line to introduce our guests. I am co-hosting this program this evening with them. I will go to United States of America. I will not introduce them myself. They will introduce themselves. Are you hearing me?
I can hear you, Uche. Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead, please. Can you say hello to our listeners? And of course, we move ahead, please.
Okay, fellow Biafrans, friends of Biafra and lovers of freedom. My name is Clifford Chukwuemeka Iruanya. I come from Arundi Onyemobi in Oguta local government area in Biafra land, and I reside in Houston, Texas. I'm using this opportunity to welcome you all to today's broadcast and say please don't change your dial, stay tuned, and let us interact and think about ways and strategies that we will use to restore that sacred and holy land and blessed land called Biafra. Thank you, and stay tuned. Uche, over.
Thank you very much, and please can you pass the microphone to Martin?
Yes, Uche, can you hear me clearly?
Yes, loud and clear. The world is listening, please.
Go wonderful. This is Martin Chilobe. I'm the Austin coordinator serving the people of Biafra, indigenous people of Biafra in the Austin, Texas area. And I'm also from Newe. Newe is in what they currently call Anambra State, in the heart of Biafra land. And to my fellow Biafrans around the world, I say hello to you, wherever you may be, those at work, those planning on strategies on how we get our goal achieved, which is achieving our independence. It's very, very important. And as we proceed today, hopefully some new ideas may come in. So let's go ahead and go on and see what we can get done today, Uche. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for that. And we will now go to Biafra land or Lagos, as the case may be. Emma, are you there?
Yes, Uche, I'm here.
Yes, please, can you say hello to our listeners and, of course, the family of indigenous people of Biafra who are listening at the moment?
Yes, my dear people of Biafra, indigenous people of Biafra, I thank you, I welcome you once again to our meeting where we discuss issues of common interest, where we give perspectives to issues the way the world has not seen it or known it before. I thank you once again. I am from Ovim in the Sweetwater local government area of Abia State. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Emma. And of course, we will very soon go to read the news headlines after this break. Yes, this is still Radio Biafra Live Broadcast, and in the news headlines we will be reading very soon. It will be very brief before because we have read that in the morning. We have read some of them in the morning, so it is going to be very brief. We are reporting that deserters from Boko Haram reveals high leadership vacuum, internal squabble, hunger, desertion by members made Adamawa military exploit possible. And Jonathan welcomes greater support for Nigeria's war against terrorism. And we are still reporting that Okorocha has knocked Ohanaeze over lack of interest in Igbo presidency. We are also reporting that an army colonel and 10 other officers has set Nigerian tankers ablaze and paved way for Boko Haram. These are the Northern Hausa Fulani headmen who are in Nigerian military and who are also shielding Boko Haram. The federal government of the so-called Nigeria has blasted Amnesty International over alleged human rights violations. The European Union, EU, rejects death sentences for the court martial of the European Union rejects death sentences passed on some Nigerian soldiers by the military hierarchy in that particular contraption. And Cameroon expresses surprise at news of purported release of hostages by Boko Haram terrorists. And pro-Jonathan officials have failed to convince Igbo leaders on the 2015 presidential ambition. We are reporting according to third-party newspaper, this is Sun newspaper, that there is indication that the Nigerian troops are getting upper hand against Boko Haram sect following the continued noticeable frictions existing among members of the gang and lack of clear, respectable chain of command hitherto existing before the killing of its leader, Abubakar Shekau, according to Sun newspaper Saturday Sun, which authoritatively also gathered that recent breakthroughs by the Nigerian troops is also informed by the demise of a prominent leader of the insurgents after the death of Abubakar Shekau at Katunga in Borno State. It is suggested that the weakening of the sect also results from power tussle among those who are jostling to lead the gang, the development which their source, according to them, gathered that internecine squabble even among the rank and file or the Boko Haram camp. It is our view here that the Nigerian military are good at additional propaganda. They have said several times that Shakau had been killed, and several other things they have said, that they have an upper hand against Boko Haram. What we can say here is that our people, all Biafrans living in the northern part of Nigeria, should have it at the back of their mind that the Nigerian government has no protection for you. They do not protect you. They do not have your interests at heart. You are on your own. The Nigerian military is divided along ethnic lines. And those in the north, the Nigerian military personnel and army officials of northern extraction, are shielding Boko Haram. In fact, they are members of Boko Haram, and they are fighting. Their allegiance is to the Alawa Republic. And so, the people who are actually fighting Boko Haram, in truth and honesty, are the Biafrans in Nigerian military. These are the people that they are sacrificing. So the ordinary citizens of Biafra living in that part of the zoo called Nigeria, especially in the northern part, must have it at the back of their minds that they do not have protection from anybody. They will kill you like animals, they will slaughter you and spill your blood. They can even drink it. And so the best option for you is to begin to make all the necessary arrangements to leave that particular part of the zoo called Nigeria and head eastwards. Go to Biafra land and its environs. That is the only way you can save yourself. What's better still, get every arsenal at your disposal to defend yourself. President Goodluck Jonathan of the zoo has welcomed the greater support for the war against terrorism from Nigeria's neighbors. Speaking on Friday in Abuja at an audience with Mr. Emmanuel Izoze, a special envoy of Gabonese President Ali Bongo, Jonathan also applauded the renewed and heightened commitment of Niger, Chad, Benin Republic, and Cameroon to join forces with Nigeria to rid the West African sub-region of terrorism and violence. We are also reporting that the Imo State Governor, Chief Richard Okorocha, the head boy of APC in Biafra land, has expressed shock at the lack of confidence among the Igbos in aspiring for the position of the President of the Federal Republic of Nigeria in 2015. Okorocha bared his mind when he received the Enugu Zonal Director and Management Team of the Federal Radio Corporation of Nigeria, FRCN, in Government House of Were. He stressed that Nigeria as a nation belonged to all Nigerians and wondered why Ohanaeze Ndigbo should champion the cause of discouraging the Igbo man from aspiring for the highest position in the Federal Republic of Nigeria. He therefore called on the Igbos to brace up and support any of their own aspiring for the presidency. It is late, of course, for Biafrans to be talking about the presidency of Nigeria. It is late. The greatest opportunity offered was the Abore Accord. And of course, after all those years, they have continued to marginalize us. They have continued to politically disenfranchise us. They have targeted our economic interests. They have curtailed our freedoms. As we speak, there are a number of pro-Biafra activists who are being held across the length and breadth of the zoo called Nigeria in different secret cells. Notable among them are the BZM members led by Ben Onwuka, and our politicians are running around from one corner to the other looking for contracts. The so-called Ohanaeze, the Aki Kengas, the Bozrumes, they are all there, nobody is talking. And even within the wider Biafra family, there are people who say that they are advocating for the rights of indigenous people of Biafra, but they have refused to fight for the right of the BZM members and indeed MASOB members to be respected if they have committed any crime, charge them to court. But that has not happened. How many Boko Haram members have been transferred to Enugu or Were or even Port Harcourt? None of them. But the BZM members have been sent to Abuja and other prisons or detention centers in northern part of Nigeria. MASOB members have been killed, shot dead, slaughtered like animals, and notable among them, the most visible, remains the Ezu River incident, where a number of MASOB members were shot and dumped in that particular place. And incidentally, it was Peter Obi that sat and presided over all this. No matter what he has done in Anambra State, we hold it against him that he masterminded the killing of Biafran youths and dumped them in the Ezu River using the special anti-robbery squad whose members are headmen from the north. They do not have any body at heart. They do not think about anybody. All they know is to kill a man. And the worst aspect of it is that the autopsy performed on the dead bodies have been seized. It was not released, and Peter Obi has left the seat of government. But what goes up must come down. Nemesis will catch up with all those who have conspired against our people. There were shocking revelations at the weekend that an army colonel, some junior officers and soldiers who were taking part in the military offensive to reclaim communities taken over by Boko Haram terrorists in Adamawa State have been arrested for sabotage. Top military sources said that the colonel, a Muslim, who was commanding a team of three armored personnel carriers, APCs, with the capability to fire up to a range of 1.5 kilometers or even more, had, instead of pursuing the terrorists, deliberately set the APC on fire between Gulak and Madagali before running away with his team of soldiers into the bush. According to the third-party news platform Saturday Vanguard, the army authorities were outraged. The army authorities were outraged over the development and ordered the arrest of both the commander, the junior officers, as well as the soldiers under his command. Narrating how the embarrassing incident occurred, a source who was privy to the development noted that until the latest development, the special forces of the Nigerian army who commenced the push to rout Boko Haram terrorists from Baza, Michika, Gulak, and Madagali from Vintim had successfully dealt with and inflicted heavy casualties on the terrorists up till Gulak. It was said that between Gulak and Madagali, the colonel, who had all along been prided with air surveillance reports, was again informed that Boko Haram terrorists were approaching his team in six Toyota Hilux pickup vans from Madagali Axis. However, rather than blasting and taking out the terrorists in their pickup vans, he ordered his soldiers to jump out of the APCs and set the armored tanks on fire, without realizing that he was being monitored. This was shocking because the terrorists were armed with weaponry which were grossly inferior to the firepower of the Nigerian Army armored tanks. After accomplishing the sabotage act, the colonel and the junior officers and soldiers ran into the bush, claiming that they were overpowered by a better armed group of Boko Haram terrorists. This is according to Saturday Vanguard, and this corroborates what we have been saying here at Radio Biafra, that the Northern Hausa Fulani army officers in the Nigerian army are shielding Boko Haram. In fact, they are also members of Boko Haram. They do not want to do anything. They want Boko Haram to continue to do what they are doing. Nigerian military is divided along ethnic line. The only people who are being used are Biafrans, and they are the people who are being killed in battlefield, while others claim not to know anything. This is a clear example. This is a clear example. The use of allegations of human rights violations against Nigeria by the Amnesty International and United States as reasons for denying the country access to purchase arms has been described as baseless and flimsy by the presidency of the so-called Nigeria, which has also accused Amnesty International of looking for cheap publicity and fundraising. The presidency also accused the United States and Amnesty International of maintaining double standards as it concerns the fight against insurgency in Nigeria. There has been a Cold War between Nigeria and the United States on one hand and Nigeria and government of South Africa on the other hand, over the frustration Nigeria suffers in her bid to purchase arms to fight terrorists who are threatening the corporate existence of the country. Although the United States had earlier denied that it was blocking moves by Nigeria to purchase arms in the open market, the country's ambassador to Nigeria, Mr. James M. Wessel, had during an interaction with journalists in Yola, Adamawa State on Thursday, admitted that his country was reluctant to support Nigeria in its bid, citing alleged human rights abuses by Nigerian soldiers in the anti-terrorism war. And we are also reporting that the European Union, EU, has rejected the death sentence handed to 12 Nigerian soldiers by the General Court Martial in Nigeria for alleged mutiny. The EU, in a statement issued yesterday on the occasion of the World Day Against Death Penalty, condemned all death sentences, especially after mass trials, as was the case with the Nigerian soldiers. The union, headed by Secretary General Mr. Thorbjørn Jagland, argued that the execution had stopped in that region of the world for close to two decades. According to the statement on the European and World Day Against the Death Penalty, the European Union and the Council of Europe reaffirmed their strong and absolute opposition to capital punishment in all cases and under all circumstances, and their commitment to its worldwide abolition. We are deeply concerned about the setbacks in some countries, such as recent mass trials leading to a vast number of death sentences. No execution has taken place in our member states in the last 17 years.
Na
And lastly, we are reporting that the quest of those campaigning for Jonathan's victory at the 2015 presidential poll to achieve Ndebo's endorsement of the re-election of re-election bid of President Goodluck Jonathan in the next election, next year's election, suffered a setback following a stalemate that ended its meeting with Igbo leaders. However, both parties agreed to constitute a committee to be headed by the immediate past governor of Anambra State, Mr. Peter Obi, with members to be drawn from all Igbo groups in Lagos. Their mandate is to resolve whether Ndebo in Lagos State will support the president's ambition or not. It was gathered that the meeting, which was held at Dover Hotel, Lekki, on Tuesday night, was convened at the instance of President Goodluck Jonathan, who was represented by the secretary to the government of the Federation, Senator Anyim Pius Anyim. Though expected to begin by 6 p.m., the meeting was 2 hours behind schedule owing to the late arrival of the Anyim-led delegation. This necessitated the parley lasting till the wee hours of Wednesday. The secretary to the government and his group had come to Lagos from Onitsha en route Enugu after receiving Obi, who dumped the All Progressives Grand's Alliance Abga for the ruling People's Democratic Party. Those who accompanied him to the meeting included Deputy Senate President Ike Ekweremadu, the Deputy Speaker, House of Representatives Emeka Ihedioha, Senator Hope Uzodinma, Minister of Labor and Productivity Emeka Nwogu, National Publicity Secretary of the PDP Olusemeto, Business and Labor Party governorship candidate in 2013 Anambra governorship election, Ifeanyi Ubah and Peter Obi, the Igbo leaders with whom they had the meeting were the President General of Ohanaeze Ndigbo, Chief Gary Ewo Igariwe, President of Ndigbo Lagos, Professor Anya O. Anya, President of Aki Kenga, Chief Godi Wazike, former Chairman of Diamond Bank, Pascal Dozier, former Military Administrator of Lagos State, Admiral Ndubuisi Kanu, retired, former President, Nigerian Stock Exchange, Dr. Raymond Obieri, Ezendibu of Ikeja, Ezeuche Dimba, and President of Ohanaeze Lagos, Fabian Omugalo. According to New Telegraph reports, trouble started at the meeting when Ayim advised Ndebo to forget what happened after 2011 elections and face the future by supporting Jonathan's second term ambition. This plea reportedly angered most of the Igbo leaders at the parley, who questioned why the Southeast should support the president again when he is yet to fulfill most of his 2011 campaign promises to the zone. According to the source who attended the meeting, majority of the Igbo leaders argued that it was unreasonable for Ndebo to work for the president again, going by what is on the ground, adding that there was heated argument on the call for support for Jonathan in 2015. The issue of second Niger Bridge was raised, but there was doubt over the authenticity of the project because it is under the public-private partnership arrangement and would be told on completion by for about 25 years, while a similar project in Benue State is being funded by the federal government and would not be told. Even the 6th state approved fundable at the just concluded national conference is not likely to be realized, because it was disclosed at the meeting that the boundary adjustment committee set up by the government on the issue failed to reach an agreement with the Southeast governors on where the new state should be carved out from. The so-called international airport Enugu, which the Jonathan campaigners are mounting as part of his achievements, was approved by the late President Umaru Yar'Adua and not Jonathan. Some of the Igbo leaders were furious, querying why Ifeanyi Ubah and his group, Transformation Ambassadors of Nigeria, are going around directing the Igbo to vote for Jonathan in 2015 when we have not taken a stand on the issue. Based on this, there is the fear that some of us may look elsewhere, the source noted. Continuing, the Igbo bigwigs squealed that while support for the president is still open pending the report of the Obi-led committee, the Igbo are not taking anything for granted. Of course, these shameless Igbo men are waiting for the highest bidder. Once the money has landed, they will now take sides. These are jobbers, political jobbers. And of course, this is the last news item on this program. We will soon go to our panelists to give us their perspective after this. This is still Radio Biafra Live Broadcast. We will now go to the panelists. I will now first go to Dr. Iranya to give us his perspective on the news headlines and what he thinks. Doctor, are you getting me? Are you hearing me?
Yes, Uche, I can hear you. Can you confirm that you can hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. Thank you for the news. That was well read and well presented. I think I will be more interested in the one aspect of the news, which has to do with Ohanaeze Ndiohi, Ohanaeze Ndiara, and Ohanaeze Ndi Compromisers. I don't think at this point in time we should be interested in Nigerian politics, and of course that's one of the cardinal, principles of indigenous people of Biafra. We don't mess with Nigerian politicians. We don't cahoot with Nigerian politicians. We don't go through the back door to, fraternize with Nigerian politicians and the politics of the country. Because the truth is this, and I want our friends, the friends of Biafra who are listening, to listen carefully and hear what I want to say now. The truth is this. As long as that zoo, that expired contraption by the Scottish man called Frederick Lucas, remains as a country, Biafra land and Biafrans will never see any development. They will continue to underdevelop Biafra and Biafra land and Biafrans. They will continue to impoverish Biafrans. They will continue to subjugate us and make us play a second fiddle. There is no way a Biafran can get to the position of the president of that zoo. That is practically impossible. So anybody tinkering with that idea, anybody trying to think about it, is just daydreaming. Therefore, I really don't see any need for these people who have made their money, some of them in a very dubious way, to gather in one room and start discussing about supporting Jonathan, Nigerian politics and other, because whether Jonathan is there or not, whoever is there, as long as that name is Nigeria, it is not going to benefit Biafra land, it's not going to benefit Biafrans, and there is no development that is going to come to Biafra. I am using this opportunity, therefore, to advise all our Biafrans and those who call themselves as leaders of thought and political juggernauts to think twice and begin to shy away and begin to move away from Nigeria and Nigerian politics, because it is not going to do us any good. The sooner we get Biafra, the better for us. If we continue to mess with Nigeria and Nigerian politics, we will never make any headway. And that is why the IPOB, the Indigenous People of Biafra, in conjunction with Radio Biafra, we made it our cardinal principle that we do not have anything whatsoever to do with Nigerian politics and Nigeria in general. And that is the stand of the IPOB. So kind of going back to directly addressing that news, it is really worthless, it is useless, it is, you know, of no consequence, and it is of no benefit and of no value discussing Nigerian politics or trying to decide whether to support that imbecilic man there called Jonathan or not. So that is my take, and that is the area of the news that I want to address at this point in time. Uche, over.
Yes, thank you very much. And can we go to Martin to give us his perspective, please? Martin, are you listening? Are you getting me?
Yes, Uche, can you hear me clearly?
Yes, loud and clear. Your friends are listening. The world is listening.
Thank you very much. Uche, before I start, let me first say thank you for the good job that you've been doing. I wish we had more people like yourself who you put out everything, nothing hidden. There's nothing taken back. You put 100%. I thank you very much for that, and I thank all the Biafrans that are working hard, towards helping us achieve our independence. Uche, let me just touch on a few things. You mentioned something about the colonel and his fellow soldiers that ran away from Boko Haram.
Yes.
It's amazing. I mean, in military terms, a group, or be it a brigade or a battalion or even a division, can retreat and make a strategic retreat and plan for a counterattack. But Nigeria is really, being the zoo that it is, the soldiers are not worth anything. You know, they're just, their expertise only lie in harassing citizens of the place, especially us Biafrans. When you come down to Biafra and you see them mounting checkpoints every few meters, collecting money, killing people, civilian unarmed citizens, that's where they show their worth. A bunch of ragtag army that are incapable of doing anything militarily. They don't even know what military means, nor do they even understand combat. Their fellow evil people supported them during their quest to wipe us out. Had it not been for all the children of Satan are backing them up, they wouldn't have lasted for, the war would have been over in weeks. So this shows an example of their capability or lack of it thereof. They are incapable of confronting Boko Haram. Now, who else can they fight? Imagine what they would do if they face really well people like ISIS. They are brothers. They are brothers of the Boko Haram. Imagine they would change their uniforms and swear that if they had any bad blood, they would throw it away and ask for Quran immediately, because they are cowards.
Definitely,
Yes, yes. It goes to show what their incapacitated nature. You have to understand, Lucha, the corruption in that zoo permeates every aspect of it. So even when they are, and you can, one can go and look at Nigeria military budget, billions budgeted every year. Where's the money? Where does it go? Because it's inherently corrupt. It's an evil entity. It's an evil creation. They split the money, and sometimes they might even go and buy blank bullets. And who would know the difference? They wouldn't know the difference. Nobody knows any better. I welcome the EU condemnation of the ones that were sentenced to die, mostly Biafrans, as usual, as one would expect. Having said that, UN also need to open their eyes and not pick and choose. They need to broaden their perspective, their sight, the way they see things. They should condemn the entire Nigerian government, not just the military branch that wants to execute these Biafrans. And really, any Biafran that is working for that country, one really has to grasp some common sense. There's no need for... we don't owe Nigeria anything whatsoever. We owe them nothing, zero. We shouldn't have any allegiance to that satanic entity that's been seeking to exterminate us ever since the evil Britain put us together. That son of a cursed womb that came from Scotland, I'm sure was conceived the day certain, the Sabbath was defiled. He came and put Nigeria together, and ever since then it's been hell. Nobody goes to sleep. Nobody can raise his kids. There's no education. Nigeria just turned 54 years old. Does Nigeria have anything to show for it? EU should go ahead and really ask Nigeria, in your 54 year of independence, what have you achieved? You don't have a running water. You can't boast of any. The basic of amenities, Nigeria doesn't have it. Roads, Nigeria cannot boast of it. But it can boast of killing Biafrans, and it's killed them, it's killed us in the millions. That's the only thing that Nigeria is good for. I want to tell Biafrans, people must understand our agitation here. We are simply not agitating, come build us some bridges, come put some roads, build a hospital. No. What we are saying here is Nigeria is unworkable, and we don't want to be a part of it. After all, we were not a part of it before. Our fathers and their fathers before them had nothing to do with Nigeria until Satan descended. So it's not just that we, if we get it, because when you talk to some people that lack the mental capacity for strategic thought, they tell you, all we're waiting for is for God to come someday and give us a good leader. No, that's not responsibility of the God. God doesn't do that. It's not his job. He has already created us. All we need to do now is to understand our quest, that we don't want to be a part of Nigeria any longer. It's as simple as that. We reject Nigeria in every aspect, in every respect. We are not Nigerians. If God wanted us to be Nigerians, he would have made us one. Okay? And you hear a bunch of thieves, because that's really what they are. They patrol and say, nation. No, Nigeria is not a nation. Go back to basic school and perhaps consult a dictionary. That might be of help. Ucha, you also mentioned something about Nigeria protecting its citizens. How can Nigeria protect its citizens? Of course, one with basic common sense, you would not expect Nigeria to protect its citizens, certainly not their friends. Are we not? Our people are in prison. Prisons are across the globe. Some have been killed. The last time I remembered anybody, even giving a damn for a Nigerian being killed was, I believe it was in 1984 when someone, Evans Ekia from River State, was killed in Austin, Texas. Of course, Buhari was the head of state then. He was the only one that, in my history as a Biafran living within that contraption, that was the only time anyone gave a damn for her own citizen being killed elsewhere, beyond the boundaries of her borders. So one would really not expect Nigeria to protect, certainly not Biafrans. It's not in their nature. We are not the same. We are not the same people. Quite the contrary, their job, as given to them by their Allah, is to see our extermination, nothing more, nothing less, to wipe us out completely so that we disappear from existence. One must understand that. We are just not, Nigeria, we are being underdeveloped or we are being marginalized. We do not want to be a part of Nigeria anymore. We are returning to our father's land. It's as simple as that. Okay? Because there's no chance in this life that a Biafran will be comfortable living with Nigeria, except the criminals, because some of them, if they give you maybe a drumstick out of a hole, or I would say a chicken leg out of the whole chicken, and then you think that you have now arrived and you are a part of Nigeria. No, people must understand. If you want us to be Nigeria, then I also have my own suggestion. Why don't you go and be a part of Afghanistan? Afghanistan or Saudi Arabia into its own country. So we have nothing in common, for God's sake. There's nothing we share in common, not even food. The only thing we have in common is that we are from the continent of Africa. And people must understand the evil that Nigeria has done to humanity. And indeed, all these colonial people that came to Africa and colonized us, it has fostered into tribal hate. Instead of us loving one another as brothers within the continent, we now hate each other. Why? Because we've been forced, irrespective of our differences, to be members of the same family. And of course, when you don't share things in common, you can never fuse, you can never become cohesive, you can never become one. We are different people. Exactly. It's as simple as that. So, Uche, and that's pretty much it. Let me also echo what Dr. Iwanya has said earlier, because he's sitting right next to me. I'm in his house, actually, in Houston.
Right.
Yeah.
Great.
Yes, I'm in his house. Ohaneze is funny. I don't even want to be mentioning Ohaneze anymore, because they have become, I don't even know what to call them anymore. They've become the evil that Nigeria has been. They've become a part of Nigeria. And what they do now is to seek our own destruction, thinking that they themselves that are eating well, that are sharing the bribe money and blood money, that they belong together. That somehow, if the rest of the Biafrans disappear, that they would be the exception. What a narrow-minded way of seeing things. Because I can tell all the Judases of Biafra. If the rest of Biafrans disappear today, those ones that think that they are rubbing shoulders with the thieves, with the Buharis, with the Babangidas, with the Hausas, and their Boko Haram, those people will die a prolonged agonizing death. Their torture will be longer, much, much longer. And it will be more painful. So what they need to do is one thing. Understand our quest. We're not looking for a good Nigeria. No. We want to be away from Nigeria, as far away as possible, and go back to the Biafrans that we were before Satan descended and shattered the altar of God. We want to restore our Sabbath. It's as simple as that. Because it's been defiled by evil. So people must understand that, Uche, and that's pretty much all I have today. May God bless Biafra.
Thank you.
I'll stand by.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And indeed, it is one thing for them to defy our land, of course, which is the case. It is another thing for us to recognize that, yes, our land has been defied, that our collective interests have been sold by the selfish few among us and who claim to be representing the interest of our people. And it is because good people see bad things happen and they look the other way, that those bad things have grown wings and legs and they have lived among us as human beings and they are walking around. And for us to face these people head on, it requires total commitment, discipline. It requires giving in everything at our disposal to stand for the truth, to defend that truth. And that is what we are doing here. But it has not been easy because the journey is convoluted, it is complex, but it is only those who are disciplined enough, who are dogged enough, who are honest enough, and who are resilient enough that we get to the end of the destination, to our destination point, which is the ultimate restoration of Biafra. We will now go to the line again. We go to Lagos. I think our brother Imam Adabuchi is there. Imam, please, can you give us your perspective on the news headlines and, of course, your views on the issues being discussed so far?
Yes, Uche, thank you for giving me this opportunity. I want to start from the arrested military officer who they said sabotaged the Nigerian army, sabotaged the nation, sabotaged the nation in there, in quote. This is why I've always said that it is unnecessary fighting this war. It is an unpopular war. It is unpopular in the north. Those people you are fighting to make sure that they are part of Nigeria, this war is unpopular with them. Those people will not be part of Nigeria unless they dominate everybody, unless they remove all of us from here and take over our land the way they have done in North America, North Africa. They destroyed all the black population and took over. That is what they will want to do. Why are you fighting them to keep them in Nigeria, to make them part of us? Tell them to go away. The heart of the people are not there. The heart of the people, the Biafrans, is not in this war. There's no commitment. There is no motivation. Every Nigerian army, every soldier that is an Igbo person or that is a Biafran in that Nigerian army, his heart is not in this war. Allow these people to go. Let them go and practice their Sharia. Allow us to go away from them. Let us go and build our Biafra land. We don't have anything in common. We were not created the same way. We don't have the same religion. We don't have the same facial outlook. We don't have anything in common. Nobody wants... Then why are you fighting? You want them in Nigeria. You want them with you in the same country. Nobody wants their land. There is nothing there. There is nothing good in their land. It is a barren land. It is a desert. Let them be there. If they like, we can be sending them materials, relief materials to live there. We don't want them here. Don't go and start using the money we use to take care of the people. And you are using it to go and fight war. Who sent you? Tell them to take their Sharia and go away. Let them go. They want to practice Sharia. Let them go. We don't want to practice Sharia. Why are you wasting money fighting? There's this other news I heard that he's going to meet John. He's going to meet Obama. He said there are indications that President Goodluck Jonathan may meet with President Barack Obama and British Prime Minister David Cameron to raise concerns over the two countries' refusal to sell arms that will enable the Nigerian military fight Boko Haram insurgents. Why are you wasting our money to build other people's economy? They have built the armament. You give them the money, they will build more. Bring money here and develop our people. Leave these people to go. That is what I think should be important at this point in time. Let them to go. We don't want conduct a referendum today, go to the street and ask people. Nobody wants to be in Nigeria. Nobody wants to be in the, even the Yoruba don't want.
The Yorubas don't want. My brother, incidentally and sadly, that Nigeria is still existing today is because of Biafrans. We are the people holding Nigeria together today. Because even the so-called Hausa Fulanis are not paying allegiance to Nigerian government. They pay allegiance to their own region, to the Arewa Republic, to the Caliphate. The only thing they have in common with Nigeria, or their only interest, is how to siphon, how to pillage, how to steal the oil revenue from the Biafra land. Anything outside that, it is dead. For them, Nigeria, as they have said, remains their forefather's estate. And their forefather, Utmanda of Fodio, but Sadona of Sokoto continued. And he laid the foundation for the discrimination of the Igbos. Arguably, he laid the foundation for the indigenization policy when he came in 1952 or thereabout. You can see the interview he granted where he said that the Igbos are those kind of people who want to dominate everything. If you put them in a camp or something like that, they will want to emerge the head boy of the camp. They want to dominate everybody. They want to take over everybody. And so, during that time, the Igbos were in the north. They were in good positions in civil service in the north. And he dislodged them. He made them redundant. He even said that instead of employing an Igbo man, that he prefers to hire another Nigerian or an expatriate, like the BBC journalist that was interviewing him. And so with all these things, they have maintained a kind of tradition and they are implementing all this to the letter. And they do everything they do with impunity. But our people are the only people who are holding this country together. I don't know what is wrong with us. You have seen those who say that they are Igbos of northern Nigeria, that they were born in Kano and grew up in Kano, and as such, they are Igbos of northern Nigeria. Even in Lagos, where you are, our people in Lagos, some of them are claiming to be Lagosians. Some people have developed Abuja, and they think that they come from Abuja. But one thing is clear, that there are people who own that land, and they won't put them away. Those who say that they are Lagosians, they must know that there are people who are the owners of that land. Somebody is own Lagos. It is not owned by the Igbos, the useless ones among us.
Yes.
In Kano is owned by somebody. Lagos is owned by somebody. Abuja is owned by somebody. My brother, continue.
Yes, I agree with you. I've met many of them over here. They will tell you they are Lagosians, they are the tribalized Nigerians. And I begin to wonder who is a tribalized Nigerian, because you tell them the truth. And like, as I was saying before, incidentally, these people are not fighting for anything. They are fighting to Islamize everybody. That is what they are fighting for. Their declaration of 1989 made it clear that they want the whole Africa to be Islamized. There are some countries they named. Nigeria is one, Kenya is two. And of course, when you come to Nigeria, you know the main place their eyes are is in Biafra land. That is, and the only thing that gives them the opportunity to do that, the only thing that will help them, that will grant them the opportunity to do that, is Nigeria. As long as we remain in Nigeria, they will have the right.
They have invested billions of naira in bribing and converting our people. Reuters from Kuroita is one of their agents, as you know.
I know.
In Imo State, even traditional rulers have been converted to do that religion. I have no problem somebody naturally converting to any religion. But when you induce somebody, then it becomes a problem. They have messed up our traditional institution. And just like Director Nnamdi Kanu will say, is it possible for you to convert an emir, the custodian of the northern traditional institution? Is it possible to convert him to any other tradition or even a religion? It is not possible. It is only in Igbo land and Biafra land that this kind of thing is happening. And the good people, the people who are supposed to talk and do something, are looking the other way because they are looking for money. They are hungry. And the worst aspect of it is that these people are going about with red cap and isiagu and ordu and things like that. And these are the people who are claiming to be custodians of our tradition. It is pathetic. We are at the verge of extinction.
It is pathetic. It is very, very pathetic. And again, I don't know whether I still have some time.
Yes, go ahead. Should I? Go ahead.
Yes. And again, when it comes to this issue of Okorocha saying that they don't support Igbo presidential candidate, because he has been so consumed by the attention the Northerners are giving him, by the boy work he's doing for them, he doesn't seem to understand what is going on. No Igbo man is interested in Nigeria again. What the people are looking for a way out. You see them keep quiet, you see them docile, because there's no way out. The man who came to give them hope, dashed the whole hope, messed up everything, which is Owazirike. But the people know that Nigeria Aburebo Bibi, if I'm sorry to use that, Nigeria Aburebo Bibi is not a place to live. Our people are looking for opportunity to get out. So nobody supports Okorocha in Igbo land. Few people who you say that they are supporting him are people who is giving money to go and run for presidency. Who are you? Igbo man wants to run for presidency. I understand they are giving us two candidates. After Jonathan, Peter Obi will run for presidency. Peter Obi, Rochas Okorocha will run for presidency. Which, let me rest it here, please.
Yes, and I'm following on that. There was an interview granted by Atiku Abubakar, and he was saying that why they went against LSE Kweme was that they never trust any Igbo man, that every Igbo man is viewed as having Biafra mentality, Biafra intention. And so, with all these things in place, tell me how you, as an Igbo man, has any chance in that zoo called Nigeria. I think it is time for us to support unreservedly, in all its ramifications, the quest for the restoration of Biafra. And so far, the Nigerian government has been sponsoring on disgruntled elements within the wider Biafra family to disorganize what we are doing. There are people who are stationed to fight us. And it is very important and instructive at this juncture to look at the issues that are bringing us backwards, to look at the issues that have been constituting obstacle on the road to Biafra restoration. And this has become a very huge and monumental hydra-headed problem and obstacle on our way. And if we are not focused, if we are not resolute, then we are nowhere. We must understand this, that there are people still within the wider Biafra family, they claim that they are Biafrans, but they are bidding and implementing the wish of their masters. They have taken money, or they have been promised one thing or the other. And so, not everybody that shouts Biafra, Biafra, Biafra is for Biafra. The only way you can get to know who is a true Biafran is what that person has done and what that person is doing, not what that person says. We have had a lot of challenges. A lot of people have high expectations for Biafra restoration and from those who are in forefront. A lot of people want Nnamdi Kanu to hang himself. A lot of people want Nnamdi Kanu to kill himself. There are so many people who call on air. They tell you, oh, we are coming. Just tell us, we are coming now. We are coming now. I am ready, and things like that. Some of them are using fake names. Some of them are not sincere to themselves. And as far as I'm concerned, Nnamdi Kanu will not disappoint you. You will be the one that will disappoint him. And it is also very important for people to understand that this freedom fighting is not synonymous with community association meetings or other social gatherings. There are things you will know, and there are things you will not know. Every information that comes to you must and should be on the need to know basis. And Director Nnamdi Kanu has said this several times, but some people are bent on doing whatever they want for their selfish interest. It is very instructive at this juncture that the second phase of the struggle for the quest for the restoration of Biafra be put in a proper perspective, that the second phase is in earnest and it is subsisting. It is only those who have eyes that will see it. You may not know everything because times are different. You may not know everything because the stage of this struggle has a lot of complex route to navigate. The routes are convoluted. And it is only those who are skilled in a particular mission or in a particular assignment that will be entrusted with those particular tasks. It is not for everybody. But it is also important for us to appreciate the fact that for any successful freedom movement, freedom fighting movement, to be a reality, there are three things that are very essential. The human aspect of the struggle is very important. Commitment, sincerity is very important. Financing is very important. And without all this, we are going nowhere. I will go back to Dr. Iranya for him to tell us probably what he has for us with respect to what we are saying at the moment. Doctor, are you hearing me?
Yes, I can hear you, Uche. Please, can you confirm you can hear me?
Yes, loud and clear, please.
All right, Uche, I will be leaving in the next 5 minutes, but let me say this. I'll probably use it as part of my closing remarks. Yes, you were really on point, and in fact, you spoke a lot of things that I planned on saying tonight in this broadcast. Biafrans, friends of Biafra and lovers of freedom, I want you to, you know, think about what you've been hearing from Mazi Uchenna for. This is freedom fighting. We are not into democracy yet. That is number one. Number two is that we have had several disappointments from people who started this, you know, in the past, and they derailed. And because of that, it is bringing a lot of doubt, a lot of, you know, suspicion, and, you know, things like that. Trying to get people to key in, to buy in into the freedom fighting process. Also, we have some people who are even currently pretending to be into freedom fighting, but clearly they are, you know, cahooting with our enemies. They are working with those people whose basic objective is to make sure that Biafra does not come. So you have, on the one hand, a previous experience of disappointment and betrayal, and then on the other hand, you have a current experience of some groups or individuals who are in the open shouting Biafra, but behind they are working with the enemy. So it becomes a very big challenge in terms of, you know, getting people to key in into what we are doing, and then also it becomes a challenge in trying to get the resources to prosecute our liberation. Just like Mazuche Mefor said, we need funding. But, you know, sometimes I reason with some of these people. I mean, you want to come to me for funding, but I looked at the, you know, what has happened in the past, and I've seen people who have come like this, and they ended up pocketing all the money in their, you know, for themselves. But we also have a proverb in, you know, Igbo language, which I can translate, you know, in English, saying that, you know, where you have several lizards lying down, you will not know the one that has a stomach ache, you know. And sometimes they say mechanics, yeah, you know, have made us, you know, not to be able to distinguish between madmen and men that have their sanity in place. So that is the problem. But every problem has a solution. And what is the solution? The solution is this. Yes, we have had people or groups who have come out in the past and betrayed us and said one thing and did the other. That's correct. That is true. That is a fact. And we have some groups now who are working with the enemies, collecting money and, you know, pretending to be fighting for Biafra. That is true. That is a fact. But the question you ask yourself is, between these two extremes, or on the, when you try to look at the case on each case of these two groups, when they promise something, did they deliver it? The answer is no. And now you come, you take a step back, and then you look at us, the indigenous people of Biafra. Everything we have promised, we have delivered. Even the ones that seem that you cannot see it physically, we have delivered it, but because of security reason, it may not manifest physically as you see. But of course, that's going to change in the next couple of weeks. So the thing is this, we have promised and we have delivered. And these people have promised, they've not even promised anything. You know, they kept lying and deceiving and, you know, playing pranks and deceiving people and, you know, inboxing people and, you know, doing things like, and The unfortunate part is that some of our people tend to believe these people, but the fact is that at the end of the day, the truth shall prevail. Now, the other one, which is also giving us problem, is that sometimes some people, when they work for the indigenous people of Biafra, because in Biafra land, we have this saying that, if I translate it again, in English, I know people who speak Igbo language, you understand Igbo language, you know what I'm talking about, but if I translate it in English, it goes like this, that when you praise a hero, when you praise a strong man for what he has done, he will do more. So that is the kind of the English translation of it, you know, but anybody who understands Igbo knows exactly what I'm talking about. So how does that come into play, what I'm saying? You know, there are some people that, you know, because of this principle of, you know, encouraging somebody who has done something, sometimes we go overboard and praise these people and shower them with praise. That, and then, you know, unfortunately, it gets into their head. And then they begin to play God, semi-God. They begin to they become arrogant. They become heady. And then when you tell them the right thing to do, the next thing they will do is to begin to challenge and to begin to do something that is counterproductive. And when you put them in their right place, and what do you have? You have them inboxing people, giving out their Skype name on Facebook, so that you connect them with Skype, and they start writing all manner of rubbish, you know. And these are the challenges we are having. But the thing is this: Biafrans, friends of Biafra, and lovers of freedom, truth is irresistible. Like I wrote on the Facebook of Eunice Mason this afternoon, and I told her that the Biafran people, the Biafra land was created by God based on two cardinal principles, which is Ebe Bere Ugobere and Eziokwu Ubondo. So when you combine these two, which is also what we in indigenous people of Biafra and Radio Biafra, what we believe in. When you combine this, you find out that you look at our antecedent, you look at our history, you look at our performance, you look at our deliverables, you look at all the things that we have going for us, you see that you have no other choice than to join us, than to support us, than to fund this process of restoring Biafra. I will therefore appeal to you, fellow Biafrans, friends of Biafra, and lovers of freedom. When you go to your bed tonight, when you are in your quiet moment tonight, remember that the indigenous people of Biafra, ably led by Maazi Nnamdi Kanu and deputized by Uchenna Okorie, we have delivered on all our promises. And we believe on two cardinal principles: Egbe Bere Ugobere, which is live and let live, and Ezioku Bunde, which means truth is life, or truth is irreducible. We have a track record. Whatever we have promised, we have delivered. We are unshakable. We stand for the truth, and we believe that Chukwu Abiyama is our God, and that the time has come for Biafra to be restored. Think about it, and I know that Chukwu Abiyama will surely guide you to make informed decisions, to support our process, to fund our process, to turn your back on our distractors, to say no to the works of Satan, and to believe strongly in the restoration of the sceptred, holy, and blessed land of Biafra. Uche, this is my closing remark. May the good Lord bless you. May the good Lord bless your family. And may the good Lord bless the people of Biafra. Thank you, and good night from Houston, Texas.
Thank you very much, and I say amen to that. And I wish you the very same. Thank you for participating. Thank you very much. And I also thank Maazi Martin Chiloba for his wonderful contribution. We will be coming back to you at some point. Of course, Biafrans, we want to listen to you. to your wealth of experience as well. Thank you very much. This is Radio Biafra Live Broadcast, and we are going to the line now. The caller on the phone, give us your name and where you're calling from. I hope the line will work.
Good evening, Richard Mefong.
Good evening. Welcome to the program. Dear fans, we want to know whom you are and where you're calling from, please.
Good evening, my fellow Dear fans worldwide. My name is Callistus Ifeanyichukwu Anuru. I am from Umunumo Amandewa and Biafra land, and I reside here in United Kingdom, London, precisely.
Thank
the PRO
you.
Of London.
Thank you very much. Welcome to the program.
Yeah, Uchime, there is only one thing I want to say before I make my announcement. On the meeting of the Igbos and the Ohanaeze, the Ndị Osun and Ndara, by good luck Jonathan and his clique, and the word of Anyim Pius Anyim, who led them, who said they should ignore the promises of good luck Jonathan to the Igbos 2011 and the forge ahead for 2015. Who is deceiving who? Our people should know now that our eye is open. We know who is who. And what Radio Biafra has been saying, that all these politicians are criminals and thieves. What Pius Anyim said, and what Governor Obi, former Governor of Anambra State, what the man is doing, all these things, Radio Biafra has been saying it, and the whole act is coming. And the limelight. But I'm saying, may all these things these people are wishing Biafrans worldwide, may their family begin to repeat, both now and forever. Because they say bad things is good, and that bad things will never go away from their own families. Fellow Biafrans, especially those in London here, I am here once again to announce about our evangelism. So listen, dear friends here in London. Evangelism, evangelism, evangelism. This is to inform all dear friends citizens living in London about our upcoming evangelism at Stratford Station. The time for this evangelism is 12 noon, as usual. The date for this evangelism is on 18th October, that's next Saturday. The venue for this evangelism is outside the Stratford Station. Direction to get to this Stratford Station is Central Line Train, Jubilee Line Train, Overground, DLR, and East Anglia Train. Buses are 25, 86, 104, 108, 158, 238-257-262-425-678-473. Contact Kelechi on 0744-041-5062. Our first two star coordinator on 0704-163-215. Or you contact Udechukwu on 0741577-3729. Or myself, Callistus, here, PRO, on 0744-817-8394. For more information, join us on www.radiobiafra.co or www.biafranrestoration.com or www.ipob.org. May Chukwu Abiyama bless us all as we attend this evangelism. It is very, very important. Dear friends, the time has come. Prove yourself. Thank you and God bless you. Uchemefo.
Thank you very much, my brother. Thank you for that. And of course, this message is for the indigenous people of Biafra in London precisely. And we enjoy you, of course, each and every one of us, to render whatever support we can in this direction. Let us go to the line now to Emma. I don't know whether Emma, are you hearing me? Can you give us your perspective and probably your closing remarks? Biafrans are listening.
Yes, thank you, Uche. My closing remarks is still what it was in the morning, that our people should focus on the struggle ahead. They should not look sideways and look at other people whose business is to attack individuals instead of attacking the Nigeria. They should focus on the struggle and forget and stop listening to people. There's a place we are going. That person who is leading you, who you think, who you know has promised and delivered, who you know has sworn with everything at his disposal, who you know has been giving everything that he has to this struggle, you should follow him. Don't listen to criticisms of people who do not even have anything to offer. Thank you very much, and God bless Biafra, and bless everyone that is a Biafra. Thank you.
Thank you very much, my brother. Thank you for that contribution. That was the voice of our brother, Imam Madabuchi, from Biafra Land, but at the moment, speaking from Lagos. This is Radio Biafra Live Broadcast. We will be descending to ending this program after this break. this is where we will be coming to the end of this program this evening. We thank you for listening. This is Radio Biafra, second edition for the day, the PM edition. And this has been the production from here in London. My name is Uche Mefor. I thank our panelists this evening, and I thank all those who have listened. There are so many things going on now, including intermittency in the transmission, but we are working round the clock to make sure that everything is put in place. This is Radio Biafra Live Broadcast. We thank God Almighty for having made it possible for us to have done what we've done this evening. What else can we say? It is time to go. May God continue to protect us, to direct us, to revive us, and more importantly, may He help us to restore Biafra. And for me, Uche Mefor, you sincerely, it is good evening and good night from London.
Ka mna fono kanyina tabio dusu tanyi o debe chukunye ranyi Ebonyi ranyi kaibia webirino Unanukwa usangi mengine Kanyina tando siyopo tanyino Eno temu ndino raya 1967 to 70 Ndino raha mwewa Unu haka mwona nono Ebu fana koho mwewa nono Ebu fana koho oke wano Ebu waona koho ni mesimo Ebu waone memono ya nore Anasi oleme Nona wanende Ra Ano kutano zomwe
Professor Denibo, I need to for keeping him alive today. I need to look at Mama. Macaneto, the king, and call Mary May. He can't get the most of engineer. I just him, Kelegio. I need to look at Mama. Macaneto, the king, and call Mary May. He can't get the most of. I want when the kids are barrier. I need to look at Mama. E bere chukwu ane woko Oso kwa simke legi o Haka mabozi onye haribe ya Anye na atunu ke mama Chuka boza Ose kwa muke legi o Ike chukwu eniago Ose kwa muke legi o Makane to dike na kome reme o Ike gani imozo Eke lunya kidi na kogoro Uonyo zohoge tinejara Eke lebi rigi esim Otito di rigi chukwa bia mao Makole luna nyerika o Hanye na zinu ke mama Preso sueke Victor Dunga one of Malaysia Ose kwa muke legi o Ona atunu ke mama Oha wachi no so Eke ose kwa muke legi o Makaneto dike na komere me o Ike gadi imozo Ari wanze na kelegi o Ose kwa mu kelegi o Mwwe mba dansi woke Eji me kelewe bia o Chukwa bia ma chukwa kikeme Anye na tunuge mama Makaneto dike na komere me o Ike gadi imozo We want to be free We want to be free as a nation. We are calling the United Nations to support our freedom, to support Biafra freedom. We are calling the world leaders to support our freedom. We are calling all of us for freedom to come for Biafra aid. We want to be free as a nation. We want to be free as a nation. We are calling the European Union. Support our freedom. We are calling the African nations to support our freedom. We are calling the African leaders to support their freedom. Mr. Lebedim, a sure rep was a Guamu Kelegio. Was a Guamu Kelegio. Honor to Rogue Mama. Mr. Chino Sumadike. Honor to Rogue Mama. Mr. Uso Chikanyamu. Honor to Rogue Mama. Makaneto Dike Nanko Mereme. Ike Gadi Monzo. Eke Lunya Gide Nanko Wara. Gugwonyo Zomonge Tinejara.
Ekene
ho,
ekene ho, Thank you.